I said, I'm ready for the word of the Lord. How about you? Why don't you pinch somebody, make sure they're awake in the room, and see if they're okay, all right? It's very important that everybody be awake in God's house. Yeah, just grab them. Stand for the reading of God's word with you, with me, please. Isaiah 59:19. And here's what it says. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. That's a phenomenal promise. Amen. Now you can put the stake in the ground right there, whatever you're dealing with in life, and say, this is what I stand on right here. When the enemy comes in like a flood, and he loves to bull rush you and charge you and come at you from all kinds of slots and directions. When he comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. He is a wicked linebacker. He likes to sack you every chance he gets, but you have an ability to rebound him away from you and deflect him away from you. So, Father, we bless you. We honor you. I thank you for the standard lifted up against our adversary. When we raise Jesus' banner, the enemy has to flee. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Standards represent banners, flags. They also depict nations and countries that of course, they represent. I remember when I was telling somebody the other day, they reminded me of that time I had that vision, and it was not a dream. This was not a dream. This was more than a dream, because I was present where this was happening, and it was a vision, and I was taken there. You know, you see sometimes things like some of the great historical Christmas carol renditions of that movie, and you see angels escorting Scrooge through different places, his past, his present, his future, and you think, well, that's kind of an interesting tale. But I can tell you, as I'm standing on this platform tonight, that when the Holy Spirit has a vision for you, he'll take you somewhere. And he'll show you things that you need to know. And he took me somewhere. And one of the things that he showed me when I laid eyes on for the first time in this immense arena, the adversary himself, one of the trio of archangels who had fallen from his place that God had created him for, and the great strength in his body and the beauty that emanated from him, though through scarring and the expulsion from heaven, damaged goods for eternity he is. And recognizing the fact that this being was the only one ever created to stand in the very Shekinah glory, fire of God himself, and lead worship, the closest any creature had ever come to being near the Father, God himself, and left his first estate, walked away from the privilege that he had, and snarling and cursing and in eye contact with those two other brothers of his that he was created to work alongside of, to bring the glory of God to every human being. And seeing the interaction without words being spoken between all three of them as they eyeballed each other. And you could see a combination of a sense of loss in the eyes of Michael and Gabriel and a sense of disgust at the same time for one who would leave this privileged position to go lead a rebellion against God Almighty. And watch him in that arena, center stage. And every one of those creatures, they don't put on a costume of whom they are. They were created with the very skin of who they are. The living word of God flows through Gabriel. The glory and the power and the strength of God's might and ability to destroy adversaries flows through the very essence and the skin of Michael, the archangel. And all the sounds of music and all the percussion and all the glorious beauty of a full orchestra that you could ever hear playing the most beautiful notes ever created, now distorted because those instruments built into the very framework of Lucifer have been damaged because of his expulsion when God, like lightning, dismissed him from his presence and said, don't come back here. He says, you are done here. And in that moment, when interacting with Jesus and taking on this creature and knowing there's no way, man, there's no way I can contact this creature and have any success whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, you get this wonderful moment when Jesus himself says, no, in your own strength you can. But here, put this on you and walk in my power and walk in my anointing and my mantle. And walking out into the center of that stage with innumerable saints and angels, more than you can see or count, watching this whole episode. And that creature looking to destroy and to kill and take out, and just lifting the hand and saying, in the name of Jesus, because we carried the standard, the banner of the one who has never lost nor ever will. And when we go in his name, you watch an adversary that strong crumble in disgust and hiss to the floor, defeated, because greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. Standards represent the banner, the flag of our Lord. And when we raise the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ, the enemies of his kingdom have to flee. Thank God. So it was not something that I could just look at the pages of God's word and hope for. I was able to see that actually happen. I was witness to that happening. And it's an amazing moment when you can witness that. The enemies of our school system, the enemies of our government, the enemies of the Church of Jesus Christ, the enemies from the entertainment world with their twisted views, all enemies have to bow as the body of Christ is lifting the standard of Jesus himself. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit, the church makes a difference in this culture. And we will do all the Lord has called us to do in this hour. And God is going to fill those who are hungry tonight with his Holy Spirit. We are about to receive a double portion anointing because of the day we're living in. Now, why would I say that? We need more than our intellect. We need more than just meetings. We are facing more evil than previous generations. The enemy has stepped up his attacks. And this time, he means more business than he's ever meant ever in all of his historical record. There are murders and corruption and lying and cheating. And I mean the hatred and the anger. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. His anger levels are getting more intense by the hour. And you wonder those that serve him, who are literally his children, they may not worship him in knowledge of what they're doing, but when they are under his direction, notice the anger levels in those people. We are shocked when we turn on the news every single day. We must comprehend that the Spirit of the Lord is our help and our strength, and we have to be present in our culture. I said we must be present in our culture, engaged, so the Spirit of the Lord can manifest his power and authority. If we have withdrawn, then there is no vessel for him to work through. We are the vessels that he chooses to work through in our culture. So the presence of the Lord dwells in us as his temple. So I want to share some principles tonight so that you're equipped to stand in power in days like these. The word says, upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Amen? So if the gates of hell are withstanding us, then it's incumbent on us to adjust. I said, if the gates of hell are withstanding us, and they are, then it's incumbent on us to adjust so that we can overthrow the adversary. biblically, Jesus' position, the gates of hell cannot withstand us. And it's so important that these principles are transferred from generation to generation. Prayer meetings, we've talked about them. We need to participate because no significant move of God happens without the church praying passionately together. And as we must transfer this principle, it is multi-generational. The power of the move of the Holy Spirit must be generational, multi-generational. And looking at the scripture where Peter is quoting from the book of Joel in Acts chapter 2, because people are asking what in the world is going on with all these in coming out of the upper room, speaking in languages that we understand, but under the influence, are they drunk at this early hour of the day? No. This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And here's the multi-generational. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And on my maidservants and men servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I'll show wonders in the heaven and the signs in the earth beneath, and blood and fire and vapor of smoke, sun turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise the Lord. That's the promise. And it's multi-generational. Transfers never take place without relationships. I said transfers never take place without relationships. And it's why we must gather together in small groups for study, for prayer, and for fellowship. We must be vitally locked together in commitment to Jesus, who is our head, and to one another in the body of Christ. We've got to walk in lockstep together. There have to be loyal relationships within the body of Christ for spirit-filled transfer to take place over multi-generations. The enemy has come in like a flood in our culture, but the Spirit of the Lord is lifting up a standard against him. But there are some things that we have to do. The way we fight overwhelming odds, we need a double portion anointing. So watch. We have ways of thinking about the anointing. And we've kind of locked down on them because we come out of a Pentecostal heritage. And some people think that the anointing is only manifested when people are shouting. Some people think it's manifested when people are running around the auditorium or jumping or laughing hysterically, or it's loud preaching or loud teaching. Now, all of these may be well human manifestations of the presence of the Holy Spirit. The anointing destroys the yoke and it lifts the burden. When the anointing is present, yokes of bondage are cracked and smashed and destroyed. Burdens are taken away. What we need when we have hate-filled individuals, only the anointing can subdue the spirit of hatred. The only power that can enter the darkness of a mind set on evil is the anointing. And when you begin to pray in the Spirit, even if you're not in the room with the person that's contemplating the evil, prayer works. The Spirit of God will go to that place and work on that individual. We pray with a double portion anointing. We pray out of our knowledge of God and of his awesome ability. We pray standing on what God has done, what he has promised, and we also hitchhike on the prayers of those who've come before us, because their prayers are ever before the throne of God. We can disrupt the plans of the adversary against our children by praying in the Spirit. And what we need is more than what we pray ourselves. But take what our spiritual parents prayed, what those who have preceded us prayed, how they persisted. Study their intensity and their passion, and then bring that over into our generation and have the same passion and the same enthusiasm and the same anointing, only double. We cannot have microwave prayers when kids walk on their campuses and kill their fellow students. Microwave prayers aren't going to fix that. We put time limits on the Holy Spirit in church services and then quench his ability to work because of so many distractions we've allowed into our lives. I said we put limits on the Holy Spirit. We quench his ability to work because of our own distractions. We've got so many other things pulling us away from focus. Let me share some principles here about the need for the church to become more aware of his presence and why we have greater need for him than we've ever had before. A man had two wives in the scripture, one he loved, the other he did not love. But there was a double portion anointing attached to this story in Deuteronomy 21. But he shall acknowledge the son of the unloved wife as the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he has. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. So it didn't matter that he didn't love this one wife. The firstborn son she bore him was entitled to receive a double portion anointing. Biblically, double portion dreams. Desires of the father rest on the firstborn. And we have to comprehend these principles as the ways of God. These are principles of order that God has given us throughout his word. If we don't comprehend these, we neglect to receive what's ordained by God in our lives. And over, you see the heritage and the blessing and the promise for the firstborn being given twice. Calvary, we are the first because we did not descend from a pre-existing other local church. Calvary Christian Center was started as a dream imparted by God to its founding pastor. Are you listening? Therefore, now that we have given birth to a second generation, we are entitled to a double portion. When there is a firstborn, that's us, there is assigned by God to the firstborn double portion. A double portion belongs to the firstborn. That's what the scripture says. And I've always sensed this. If you can get your first child born heading in the right direction, if you raise that firstborn to love Jesus and love the Lord, it spills over to the succeeding children. Instill the heart of God. Make transfer into your firstborn because they're going to help you with their other siblings. Because during growth periods, these siblings will pay more attention to the firstborn than they do to their own parents. So watch this in Scripture. In 2 Kings 2, it says, "And it was that when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you?' And Elisha said, 'Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me.' So he said, 'You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so.'" You see how God has order in everything he does and very specific direction to everything he does. Elisha received the double portion anointing because he asked for it. He desired it. But not only did he ask for a double portion anointing, he saw eye to eye with Elijah. He would not let him out of his sight. He locked himself down on him. And every time Elijah said, "Now would you please wait here by the river? I've got to go across the river and take care." And Elijah said, "Oh, no, you don't. I'm going with you. I'm not taking my eyes off of you. I'm watching you." Once again, comprehend the importance of God's orders in these matters. When a spiritual leader is elevated and distinguished among you, you do not need to be at odds with that leader, whether it's a male or a female. The body must be in unity. It must march in the same direction because what we need in our generation is a double portion anointing. And that's not going to happen if we get out of sorts in the body of Christ. Why? Because what is manifesting in this culture wasn't even considered in a previous generation. The stuff we're seeing in writing and in depictions and people making speeches and the horrific, horrible descriptions that they give us, listen to me, that was not even discussed in open places in previous generations. Then what has occurred? We are fighting a new generation with only one level of anointing. And some think an anointing is only for a church service. Anointing is necessary when you sit in a business meeting, when you conduct a board meeting or a staff meeting, when you've got to have an answer. The anointing provides wisdom when you're making a business deal, when you don't have the ability to have the information and you need it quick, fast, and in a hurry. Then the anointing downloads the answer on the inside of your heart and it shifts the direction and there's unity and then there's a win for the kingdom of God. I never minimize the anointing to just the laying on of hands for people. I never minimize the anointing to just preaching and teaching. I never minimize the anointing to just having another church service, because I'm only here for a few hours on a Sunday, but I have to face a culture during the rest of the week, and I need the anointing more out there than I do in here. So I have an announcement. Here's an incoming text for you. If you think you're going to make it out there without the anointing, you are operating on the lowest level of wisdom. I said, if you think you're going to make it out there without the anointing, you're operating at the lowest level of wisdom. Elisha was not the firstborn, but he knew how to jostle himself to get in line. Oh no, I'm not going to miss this. And when you learn how to press into the Holy Spirit, even though there are automatics, like you had, you know, with Jacob and him taking that promise that was made to the firstborn, you see, there are automatics. You have to learn how to posture yourself to receive what you need to overcome whatever obstacles the enemy is throwing up against your life. He comes in like a flood, and the Holy Spirit will raise up a standard against him. See, I didn't just begin in ministry. I've seen a few things in my lifetime. I've walked through some stuff. I've seen things related to the Holy Spirit, double portion. Let's just call it the wisdom of God. Amen? Because all of us need wisdom, but what we don't equate, wisdom comes to us because the Holy Spirit is working in our lives in double portion. That's how wisdom comes to us. James says we are to ask for wisdom. I ask for wisdom because I need it. And somewhere in my life, I find myself in a situation where I don't know what I need to know, but I can ask for wisdom and still come out on top. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. That's why I need a double portion anointing to help me in areas where I don't know. That might be tough for some people because some people think they know everything. But I believe there's enough hell loosed on this earth where we discover we don't know everything and we don't have answers and you're not going to just pick them off the internet. We are not as strong as we thought. We don't have enough people pulling in the same direction. But I know this, wisdom can pull you out of a tight place. It doesn't matter if you have 1,000 with you, if you have the anointing of wisdom. Listen, if you have that wisdom that comes from on high, it will cause you to overcome any obstacle that ever comes your direction. No matter what you're facing tonight, there will come a flood attempting to stop us. With God's help, the Spirit of the Lord in our lives will raise that standard a little bit higher. I will preach a little bit harder. And I need some witnesses in here tonight who are going through a little bit of hell or a whole lot of hell, but you'll lift up your hands and still give God praise because you're waving your banner because Jehovah Nissi is here. I said, Jehovah Nissi is here. The thief, Jesus said, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, all I have to do is show up and I bring life. The enemy shows up attacking three ways. Jesus just has to appear one way and we will win. The obstacles remain in attack mode. They continue to focus like lasers on you to take you out. But God's power is always available. Okay, let me talk to this side over here. I said, no matter how the enemy comes at us, God's power is still available.
Amen?
Amen? That's a little better over there, right? Say power.
Power.
We attempt to pray obstacles away, okay? Why not get in line for a double portion anointing so we overcome any obstacles, right? You don't always tap into the resource of anointing when you're at rest. You tap into the anointing when all hell's breaking loose. And you rise up and you still worship and you're still praising God and you're still tithing and you're still giving God glory. You're still separating that no weapon formed. Some still haven't figured it out as yet. No weapon formed. I know it down inside of me tonight. That means no weapon formed coming at you. It shall not prosper. All you needed was someone to pull you into proper alignment for double portion anointing. Now, the devil that you're fighting cannot overcome a double portion anointing. Do you hear that? Said the devil you fight cannot overcome a double portion anointing. If you want to run the devil out, just continue to increase the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life. You'll run him off. The only way you increase the anointing, now watch, the way you increase the anointing, stop resisting the Father. When he's asking you to do something, and he's clearly shown you, here is what I'm expecting, and you just keep resisting, the anointing level is not going up. I can promise you that. Because every time you resist the will of the Father, you downgrade. You might want to write that down somewhere. Every time you resist the will of the Father, you downgrade. So if you're fighting against him, resisting him, and debating with him when he's asking you to do what he asks you to do through his word and through his will, you're not improving your position. You're downgrading it. I don't know about you, but is anybody else here ready for an upgrade in the house of the Lord? How about an upgrade? Amen. Is anybody ready to whip what's been whipping you? Is anybody ready to step on what's been stepping on you? Is anybody ready to chase what's been chasing you? Because of the double portion anointing, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you in one way and flee before you seven ways. Praise the Lord. I'm here to tell somebody, listen, when God arises, the enemy is being scattered. So you shout for your victory and give thanks to God. It belongs to me. So no matter what anybody thinks, I'm not losing. My foot is on the neck of the devil because Jesus has put, listen, he has put the enemy under our feet from the beginning. That was the promise he made to Adam and Eve. And one day it was fulfilled when Jesus did it. And because we're the body of Christ, we get to do it. Why do we allow the devil to ride our backs when we have a double portion anointing? Why do we allow that? The devil came to steal what God gave you because the devil doesn't attempt to steal unless you have something. And he wouldn't attempt to kill you if you weren't really alive. Tell your neighbor, I'm alive. Why would the devil try to kill you if you weren't alive? You're a threat to everything that represents darkness. That's why. That's why the devil wants to shut you down and put you in a corner You wondered what the fight is all about. Why in the world is this resistance coming again? It's because you're too alive, and the devil and his followers fear you because you are alive to Christ. And when you're alive to Christ, you are making waves in the enemy's kingdom. The devil is a thief. Thieves don't break into houses that don't have any assets. If the thief shows up, something around you or in you is very expensive. Some have downgraded their values so much, they don't even realize the thief has broken in. That's why I'm so careful. I won't allow someone to treat me cheaply because I am a son. I belong to the Lord. And if you are sons and you are daughters, stop allowing others to treat you like trash. You're an heir. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You are royalty in the name of Jesus. Amen. A royal priesthood. And for everyone who thought it was over, the devil stops fighting when you're destroyed. That's when he's going to let up on you. And why has he not stopped fighting? Why is he still trying to destroy you? Because he knows there's still recovery on the inside of you. He knows there's still bounce back on the inside of you. He knows that you have power to overcome him on the inside of you. Why would the enemy fight somebody who has no ability to recover, no ability to get up off the ground and take the enemy out? Once something is destroyed, it means there's no hope of it ever rising again. It means it's finished. And you're trying to figure all this out. Why have these battles continued? Because you're not dead and you have so much wealth the devil still wants, and you're not going to succeed it to him or allow him to have it. I stopped trying to figure out what the fight was about and started to figure out whose I am and the one that I serve. And because of who he is and whom I serve, who I am in Christ. It's about time you figured out who you are in the Lord. Then you'll know what your fight is about. And anytime you've been graced with a double portion, some dirty devil will attempt to take it away from you. Never stops with that stuff. But I'm here to declare, you know your stuff has been threatened. I dare you to get up on your feet. I dare you to declare by waving your banner, which is praise. You're letting the devil know, you're letting the kingdom of darkness know that everything God has given to me is off limits to the adversary. It's off limits to the principalities. He cannot take your joy. He cannot take your peace. He can't take your praise. He can't take your God-given inheritance. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. Elijah said, "You've asked a hard thing. But if you see me, we're asking a hard thing. If you see me when I'm taken away, you can have your request." If you're still focused when everybody else gets distracted and everybody else is scattering to the winds, but you're still laser focused, he said, there's going to come a moment when I'm taken. But if you're still focused, how many focused people do we have in the house? How many focused people do we have in the house? You cannot lose your focus to whatever is vying for your attention around you. You must keep your focus, because true warriors never lose focus when things are exploding all around them. The well-trained special operations individual never loses his or her focus when stuff is exploding, rounds are buzzing by their ears, when people around them are wounded. They never lose their focus, and they never stop pushing for their mission to succeed, because they know how to, they were trained to be a warrior. Gideon, you have too many with you. Take them down to the water, and I will show you which ones to keep. Because there were too many too easily distracted in the crowd that said, "We're going to follow you, Gideon." God said, too many, not laser focused. You can't be distracted even when you're thirsty. Did you hear that? Things will not stop happening around you just because you got thirsty. But the devil knows he's limited to doing things around you, not to you, when you're focused. And here's a declaration. You're here tonight because the enemy has been doing things around you. If the devil were successful with you, you wouldn't be here tonight. You wouldn't be in the room tonight. If he had succeeded with his plans, you would not be here tonight. Say, I'm coming through this test. And so no matter what happens, how many explosions, how many things he sets off in your path, I have a double portion anointing. I'm ready to be in possession of victory that God's promised me. We don't need Ghostbusters. We need the saints to claim their territory. We need people who go out there and say, this belongs to the kingdom. The school systems around us have trouble, but God can trust you with trouble while you're in the middle of that system. You're not fazed by trouble because there's revival about to be poured out on the students in this culture. There is revival about to break out in the next generation. There is a starting to be a crumbling among some who have drifted off into an extremist position away from the founding fathers' desire for a country that was based on Judeo-Christian principles. And all of a sudden, I see a crack in what they've been trying to do, and there's a group of millennials that is breaking away from that extremist view and saying, you know what? I think they're lying to us. I don't think we've been told the truth. I don't like their attitudes. I'm kind of shocked by what I'm watching here. And I think we need to walk away from this stuff. Listen to me. There is revival about to break out in the next generation. And listen, that's how it always starts. It begins with a small little fire, a burning down deep inside. Do you have the wherewithal when the revival hits this generation? Do you have the wisdom to direct the move of God that's manifesting? So it heads in the right direction. It's not lost to extremist ideas and crazy manifestations. I have learned from my Elijah to always think about the generation after me. Those that mentored me, taught me, it's not about you. It's about who's coming after you. God didn't bless me with strength. He didn't bless me with peace. He didn't bless me with wisdom just for me. He blessed me that I might transfer it to the next generation. I'm free because Jesus chooses to bless multiple generations with wisdom and revelation so they too might walk in light and walk in freedom. You ought to celebrate your freedom. Amen. So I decree in the atmosphere for every generation going forward, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. That the next generation coming after us will be free to serve the Lord and not encumbered by the lying spirits that have educated them and corrupted them and filled them with non-truths about who we are and where we came from and what our mission and purpose here is on earth. But it comes only through a double portion anointing. I said it only comes through a double portion anointing. And if I could talk to Pastor Long tonight, I'd say, Pastor, there's no way we can be weak because we have a double portion anointing. And we receive the inheritance that you passed to us. We receive what you gave us. And whenever I think to make an excuse, the Holy Spirit reminds me, saying, you have no excuse because you have a double portion anointing. You can handle everything that happens in your lifetime. So get yourself together and go to work. That's how he talks to me. I mean, he just had no bones about it. You can handle anything coming at you in your lifetime. Get yourself together and let's go to work. Calvary, you're not celebrating where you've come from unless you're doing what God has called you to do. I said, you're not celebrating where you've come from unless you're doing what God has called you to do. Greater is he who lives in you than he who lives in the world. Now, when our founder passed to heaven's reward, remember the visit in the hospital just a few days before he went to be with Jesus? Donna and I went and visited him. It was a sweet moment. And then I went to visit him one more time. And I sat on the edge of his bed. And he looked at me and he said, you know, we're two very different men, two different pastors with different styles. He said, but God joined us together and linked us for this purpose, to do his purpose and do his will at church, at Calvary, and in this community. And it was an amazing moment because it was a moment that had generational impact. We were seeing eye to eye. When he left with his blessing passed on to my life. And I inherited, as the firstborn from that first generation, a double portion. We will not attempt to do what we're called to do with a singular anointing. We have a double portion anointing. See, the devil will not get us to violate our transfer. I'm not going to allow him to do that. I don't know about you, but with the world we're living in, we need a double portion anointing of wisdom, of health, of provision, of power, and breakthrough. And there are so many truths in God's word that will advance you in life. But until we find the order of father-child relationships, we'll never accomplish all we're destined to accomplish. See, Elijah had 12 oxen, 12 yoke of oxen, and that was his last place of service when he met up with Elijah. And he left those yokes, and he got rid of everything that represented where he had been coming from, and then began to pursue everywhere he was to go. So when Elisha asked for a hard thing, it was rewarded because he was willing to pay whatever price necessary to receive the promise of a double portion. We have to teach our students. For the generation where you're going to become an adult in, you're going to not just need a double portion anointing, you're going to need a triple portion anointing. You're going to need not only the anointing of our founders, you're going to need the anointing of your current pastor. You're going to need the anointing of the associate pastors where we're going and where we're going to step into. It's not going to get easier in terms of the tests we face in our culture, but we're going to have the victory because we are vessels of his power. You see, when the deluge of water fell during the time of Noah, the ark began to float and fulfilled its purpose. Up until that time, it just sat there. But when the waters began to deluge from beneath and from above, it began to lift and float and fulfilled its purpose. There has to be some mess to get us to elevate where God wants us to be. It's unfortunate, but it always seems to work that way, doesn't it? There's always got to be something that creates a stir, that's something that motivates us, where we finally say, I've had enough of the garbage and the trash of this culture. We're going to pray fire down from heaven. We've got to have change in our direction. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. God allows messes to come your way in order to get us into the elevation mode. How many of you are in elevation mode tonight, or want to be in the elevation mode? I want to be in the elevation mode. God wants to give you something the devil cannot steal. You see, the devil, Lucifer, cannot operate in order. because his failure to follow order got him kicked out from the presence of heaven. He has no ability to function in order. He can't function any longer as one of the three archangels, one of the most powerful creatures ever created. In a world filled with so many absentee fathers, our Father wants to restore victory in the family of God. And some things can only be released through His order. Generationally, God intended that each generation of the church exceed the generation prior to it. And each of us privileged to lead His church, if those leaders are biblically based believers, men of God, women of God, always it should and will be their desire, our desire, our successors will do better than we did. That's how God orders generations moving in His presence. Elisha got his double portion. Elisha performed exactly 2 times the amount of miracles that his predecessor Elijah performed. I want a double portion of what you have. And now Elijah passes that mantle to him because Elijah fulfills the challenge. And as Elijah is taken away, my goodness, can you imagine? There hasn't been one since that's been taken like that. And he drops his mantle. And as it floats back, Elisha grabs it and immediately goes to the river. Where is the God of Elijah? The waters part. And twice the miracles begin. But Elisha checks out. If you do the math, one miracle short of double. And you kind of scratch your head and go, well, you know, I might have missed something here. Because Elijah performed this many. Now Elijah has performed twice except one short. And that final miracle happened sometime later after his passing. Because God always keeps His promises. And the double portion was still on the bones of that man, buried in an underground cavern where he died. And there was a big fight going on up on the surface above him, above where his bones were buried. And one of those soldiers got killed. And they took him to get him off the battlefield and threw him into the opening of that cavern. And when that dead body hit the bones of Elisha the prophet, that dead man stood straight up, alive. And the double portion, twice as many miracles, promise was fulfilled exactly the way God had promised it. Can you say how? You see the generational anointing in this? Do you see how it works? And God says, I'll even keep it in the man's bones until everything I promised him is fulfilled. So if any person is serving God in the flow of the Spirit today and leading the church of Jesus, it will be his or her desire beyond any shadow of a doubt that those who come after him or her are going to do greater things than he did, because that's how God makes it in succession. For all of us, God wants us to pass Holy Spirit legacy to the next generation. And His will is that it be a double portion anointing. Thank the Lord. I said, thank the Lord. Praise God. Love you, Lord. And I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. This is for you. This is for you. we are in the last days. We get the final outpouring of the Holy Spirit being poured out on all flesh. It makes no difference gender. It makes no difference age. It's multi-generational. It's multicultural. It belongs to every single one of us. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Stand together with me. Come on, stand together with me, and let's bless the Lord together. Let's honor God in this place. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to get motivated and put some leg behind it and bend the knees a little bit and get the kinks out and make your way down the nearest aisle and fill the front of the church. Fill the front of the church, because the Holy Spirit wants to totally endue you with power from on high. He wants to fill you, bless you, overwhelm you with his presence. Listen, Jesus is prophesied by John the Baptist. John the Baptist is baptizing, and there are great multitudes listening to him preach. And he's anointed by the Holy Spirit to preach. And people are coming to know Jesus, or at least redemption. They didn't fully comprehend Jesus as yet. But then he gives them the revelation in the middle of his preaching. He said, the one who's coming after me, you see, I indeed baptize you with water. And that's what we do when we fill the tank and somebody gets water baptized. We get in the tank with you. We help you. We in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, we lay you down and you get covered with water. You're immersed, you know, symbolizing the death of the old, the resurrection of the new, coming to life. And that's a beautiful thing that we can do. John the Baptist did. And all through the generations, we're privileged to be able to do. But I can't baptize you in the Holy Spirit. John said, there's one who comes after me. He's mightier than I. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He will take you in his hands, and he will immerse you in the same spirit that he was immersed in when the Spirit of God descended on him at his water baptism and his ministry began on earth. And he said, this same one that is with me, I'm going to my Father. And when I reach there, the Father and I are going to send him back to you. And he will be with you always. And the same one that accompanied me, and see, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For what? The Lord was with him. And the same one that was with me is going to be with you, each of you. And he will be in you and upon you. And he will empower you and embolden you. It'll come to pass when my Spirit is poured out on you. You will testify. You will share boldly. You will be uninhibited and unafraid. He will help you remember the things that I've taught you. He will convince through you the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And so tonight, the privilege is I get to have the same Spirit that accompanied Jesus in his ministry on earth. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now rests with me, abides with me. The same Holy Spirit now I get immersed in. So you know what my prayer is going to be? Jesus, just like I would have asked the man of God, the pastor of my church, to baptize me in water, I get to ask Jesus, God's Son, would you immerse me in the same Spirit that you were immersed in? The same one that filled you and empowered you and enabled you. Would you give him to me in his fullness? Jesus, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. That should be everybody's prayer here tonight. Amen. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit.